The November 19, 2024, Bullock County Board of Commissioners nearly four-hour meeting began with Chairman Roy Thompson expressing gratitude to Vice Chairman Ray Davis for stepping in during his recent medical absence. The meeting included an emotional farewell for County Manager Tom Couch, who is leaving his position after 20 years of service. Commissioners praised Couch's transformative leadership and his dedication to the county, acknowledging his contributions and sacrifices. The board celebrated the second graduating class of the Bullock County Management Development Program, a leadership initiative developed in partnership with the Carl Vinson Institute of Government. Graduates shared their experiences, including leadership training and completing community service projects, such as improving the Teal House and Open Hearts Community Mission. County leaders commended the program's impact and expressed hope for its continuation in 2026. The 2024 Bullock Development Program with the Board of Commissioners. Blake Williams, James Pope, Planning and Development Director, introduced the county's updated Long-Range Transportation Plan, LRTP, the first update since 2009. Consultants from GMC outlined $48 million in prioritized projects to address transportation needs over the next 5 years, emphasizing multimodal connectivity and collaboration with neighboring municipalities. They also presented the Southeast Bullock Land Use Plan, which focuses on managing growth while preserving rural character and environmental integrity. The board commended the plans and their potential to guide sustainable development. All items on the consent agenda were unanimously approved, addressing key initiatives, including the transfer of a fire truck to the Georgia Forestry Commission, paving projects, storm-damaged sign replacements, alcohol license renewals, and design services for upcoming road projects. The board also renewed a partnership with Ogeechee Technical College to provide GED programs for inmates at the County Correctional Institute. E911 Director Kelly Barnard reported on emergency repairs to radio towers damaged by Hurricane Helene, which cost $60,459. The board approved the expense, emphasizing the importance of maintaining reliable communication for public safety. Human Resources Director Cindy Mallett presented a plan to comply with the Ashley Wilson Act, requiring PTSD coverage for first responders. The board approved $53,370 for coverage under the ACCG program. The board extended emergency purchasing provisions by 6 months to address ongoing road repairs from Tropical Storm Debbie and other weather events. Assistant Public Works Director Robert Siemens emphasized the continued need for expedited purchasing to manage recovery efforts. County Engineer Brad Deal reported progress on the Brannan Pond Road Culvert Project, requesting a $115,720 change order to stabilize a scour hole. The board approved the request, ensuring the project remains on schedule. The sale of an abandoned segment of Highway 46 to Raymond Waters was approved for $8,160, resolving a long-standing issue. The board also authorized an intergovernmental agreement for the March 2025 SPLOST referendum, detailing $138 million in anticipated collections. Funds will prioritize jail expansion, a regional landfill, and municipal projects based on population. The board approved plans to call the referendum in December. Tony Rojas and Trent Thompson presented the Well Mitigation Program, addressing groundwater sustainability under EPD permits. The program includes short and long-term mitigation measures for water access, with funding starting at $1 million and additional contributions from water sales. Commissioners and residents raised concerns about the 5-mile mitigation radius, funding adequacy, and the exclusion of shallow wells. Public transparency and ongoing adjustments were emphasized as critical to the program's success. Tony Rojas and Trent Thompson speaking about the Well Mitigation Program. Blake Williams. During public comments, residents from Pulaski Point, Sand Creek, and Banks Creek Church Road highlighted severe flooding, unsafe road conditions, and insufficient drainage maintenance. They urged the board to prioritize repairs and implement long-term solutions. Sheriff Noel Brown delivered closing remarks, highlighting the county's resilience during Hurricane Helene and urging attention to aging dams contributing to flooding issues. He commended the county for progress in employee retention and infrastructure improvements and called on incoming leaders to continue these efforts. Citizens of Bullock County came to voice their concerns and speak about the recent flooding aftermath. Blake Williams. Continue reading for an overview of all business covered by commissioners. Presentation 1. Recognition of graduates of 2024 Bullock County Management Development Program, University of Georgia Carl Vinson Institute of Government. The Board of Commissioners celebrated the second graduating class of the Bullock County Management Development Program, an initiative tailored in partnership with the Carl Vinson Institute of Government at the University of Georgia. County Manager Tom Couch, who facilitated the program, highlighted its significance in cultivating leadership and fostering professional growth within county staff. Couch emphasized that this program equips participants with essential skills in decision-making, problem-solving, and team management, strengthening both current and future leadership within the county. He noted the value of investing in employees for internal promotions and continuity, particularly as seasoned staff retire. Strong communities require strong leaders, he said, adding that the program helps elevate Bullock County's reputation for excellence statewide. Dahl Kennedy, a member of the graduating class, reflected on the program's challenges and rewards. Over 8 months, participants attended 20-day-long sessions focused on management styles, conflict resolution, and maximizing employee potential. Kennedy noted that the cohort persevered through 3 emergency situations, demonstrating the resilience and dedication of the county's workforce. The class also completed a service project, rehabilitating the entrance and wheelchair ramp at the Teal House, a local sexual assault victim assistance center, and building planter boxes for Open Hearts Community Mission. These projects, completed with donated materials and volunteer labor, underscored the graduates' commitment to community improvement. The commissioners praised the program's impact and expressed hope for its continuation with a third cohort in 2026, ensuring that future leaders have the opportunity to contribute to Bullock County's growth and success. Chairman Thompson then added that the new leadership to come in Board of Commissioners needs to give the city employees a chance to show them what they are capable of, because they're the best employees of any county, top to bottom. 2. Goodwin Mills Cawood, GMC, Long-Range Transportation Plan. Board of Commissioners Adoption November 19, 2024 Workshop 111,324. PPTX by Dwayne Grice. James Pope, Planning and Development Director, introduced the presentation by highlighting the significance of the LRTP update, the first since 2009. The plan, initiated over 18 months ago, outlines transportation infrastructure projects anticipated over the next 15 to 20 years. It provides a constrained project list aimed at improving Bullock County's long-term infrastructure. Pope also noted the inclusion of the Southeast Bullock Land Use Plan, designed to assess potential growth and its impact on transportation and land use, focusing on long-term trends rather than short-term strategies. Glenn Coyne and Kalanos Johnson of Goodwin Mills Cawood, GMC, then provided a comprehensive overview of the county's updated long-range transportation plan, LRTP. Coyne opened the presentation by summarizing the extensive process involved in developing the LRTP. Over the past year and a half, the team gathered and analyzed data, incorporated public feedback, and worked closely with both county and city staff. The public engagement process included 4 interactive public meetings, 2 in 2023 and 2 in 2024, held in Statesboro and Brooklet. These sessions allowed residents to provide direct input on transportation needs and challenges. Additionally, an online survey garnered over 1,000 responses from a diverse group of participants, ensuring a broad representation of perspectives. Updates were also shared through a dedicated website and social media channels. Coyne praised the involvement of the Technical Advisory Committee, which met 4 times during the project and consisted of local staff and community leaders who contributed valuable insights. The LRTP identifies and prioritizes transportation projects based on a combination of public input, technical analysis, and funding constraints. Coyne explained that the initial list included 87 projects, categorized by type to align with potential funding sources. Through a detailed evaluation process, the team narrowed the list to a fiscally constrained set of 25 priority projects for the county. These projects, valued at over $48 million, are slated for implementation between 2025 and 2030 and address a range of needs, including road improvements, bike and pedestrian connectivity, and safety enhancements. Coyne stressed that while the county and city have separate project lists, the plans are interdependent and emphasize regional cooperation. He also noted the importance of connecting Bullock County's projects with those of neighboring regions to ensure seamless transportation networks. Johnson provided further detail on the technical aspects of the planning process. He explained that GMC used a travel demand model to assess current and future transportation needs, identifying areas where improvements would be most effective. The model incorporated both qualitative public input and quantitative data analysis to evaluate and score projects using 23 metrics tied to the plan's goals and objectives. This rigorous evaluation ensured that the final project list aligns with the community's priorities and funding realities. Johnson also highlighted the plan's emphasis on multimodal transportation, including improvements for vehicles, cyclists, pedestrians, and public transit. In conclusion, Coyne and Johnson emphasized the importance of ongoing collaboration between Bullock County, Statesboro, and surrounding areas to implement the plan effectively. They also underscored the value of public involvement in shaping the LRTP, which reflects the community's needs and aspirations while preparing for future growth. The finalized LRTP, along with the executive summary, will serve as a critical tool for guiding transportation investments over the next 5 years and beyond. GMC was scheduled to present the plan to the Statesboro City Council. The second part of the presentation by GMC focused on the Southeast Bullock Land Use Plan, examining the potential growth and development patterns over the next 20 years in the southeastern part of the county. Coyne emphasized that this was a proactive effort to anticipate and manage future growth along critical corridors, such as Highway 67 and Highway 46. Which are likely to experience increased development pressure due to the growth along the I-16 corridor and the introduction of utilities like water, sewer, and improved road infrastructure. Coyne explained that the plan aimed to preserve the rural character and environmental integrity of Southeast Bullock while accommodating targeted growth. The study area identified areas for potential development while maintaining agricultural uses and protecting environmentally sensitive land. Coyne noted that 71% of the land in the study area is either designated for agriculture or is in flood-prone zones, leaving 29% for potential development. The plan emphasizes clustering growth around key nodes along the corridors to avoid sprawl, ensuring efficient infrastructure provision and protecting the area's character. Detailed recommendations included promoting low-density residential, planned communities, and conservation zones while incorporating parks and green spaces to break up development patterns. Coyne highlighted the importance of creating a balance between residential growth, economic development, and environmental preservation, aligning with the county's long-range transportation plan and comprehensive plan. Kalanos Johnson added that the recommendations were based on a blend of public input and data analysis, ensuring consistency between transportation and land use planning. The plan considers the expansion ambitions of nearby municipalities, such as Statesboro and Brooklet, particularly regarding water and sewer utilities. Tom Couch commended the effort, emphasizing that the plan provides a valuable tool for future land use and zoning decisions. He noted that the interconnectedness of transportation and land use makes this plan essential for guiding sustainable growth. Chairman Roy Thompson thanked GMC for their work. Approval of General Agenda. Approved. Consent Agenda. 1. Approve the transfer of 1992 International Model 4904X2 front mount pump truck, engine 14. To the Georgia Forestry Commission. Engine 14 was taken out on a fire call and while being driven back to the station on Neville's Groveland Road began shutting down. Engine 14 had to be towed to the Bullock County Fleet Maintenance Shop, and it was found that something broke inside the engine motor, taking the vehicle out of service. Chief Ben Tapley contacted Paul Kitchens with the Forestry Commission. Mr. Kitchens informed Chief Tapley there were four options for the truck: replace the motor in the 1992 International chassis, replace the chassis with a new one, let the county shop take the pump and tanker off, and forestry will ship to Macon, or turn the whole truck including chassis over to forestry and they will ship back to Macon. Removing the tank and pump would be very labor-intensive and would not leave Bullock County with a usable chassis. Chief Tapley feels that due to the age of the chassis, it would be best to keep the truck whole and transfer it back to the Georgia Forestry Commission to be shipped back to Macon. Approval is recommended. 2. Approve a resolution to approve the location of a paving road project for a portion of Moore Road OCGA sections. The 21st of February 109 and the 5th of March 32 require a condemning authority to approve the location of a road project and advertise it in the newspaper once a week for 4 weeks within 30 days of the location approval. The purpose of the attached resolution is to satisfy this requirement. Approval is recommended. 3. Approve and ratify the purchase of signs from Middle Georgia Signs due to Tropical Storm Debbie damages. During Debbie, the public works used all of their signage stock, closing and blocking off roads. Several are now in need of replacement, damaged or lost. Public works worked with Middle Georgia Signs to replace their water over the road and road closed signs, purchasing new and used signs at a cost of $48,109 for. Grant a 2025 alcoholic beverage renewal license for package retail beer and wine sales to certain establishments with a current 2024 license off-premises. OM and Eva Vinod Jetwani Poor Decisions Beer, Wine and Liquor, LLC, April Cooper, Nikki Green Radhakrishna Inc. Indorabin Patel Four Square Circle, LLC, Anchor Patel Five Hives and Vines, LLC, Zachary Van Otteren, Eric Van Otteren Supron, 301 Market, Pravina Dodia Kishabapa Trading, Inc., Zip N Food No. 16, Pallavi Patel Saloni Investments, LLC, Zip N Food No. 8, Keeriban Patel Neil 2022, LLC, Amruth by P. Patel Krish 2024, LLC, Amruth by P. Patel Tobacco More 2, Pervez Chaudhry Zip N Food No. 12, Meenaban Patel Parkers, Robert Alion The Go 24 and 33, Melissa Secarist On Premises Forest Heights Country Club, Inc., William L. Harrington 5. Approve a contract with EMC Engineering Services, Inc. in the amount of $38,500 to perform professional engineering design services for the construction of a connector road between Earl Dabbs Drive and US 301 South for access to the OTCISIR Training Center, to be funded using 2019 SPLOST funds. During its regular meeting October 15, 2024, the board previously approved a request from Ogeechee Technical College for funding assistance in the amount of $1 million, for road construction to be paid from 2019 SPLOST funds. EMC Engineering Services, Inc. has previously contracted with the Technical College System of Georgia to provide preliminary engineering services on the proposed Ogeechee Technical College ISIR Training Center along Earl Dabbs Drive, Highway 301, Connector Roadway. Considering the level of preliminary engineering services provided to date by EMC Engineering Services, Inc. involving the Earl Dabbs Drive, Highway 301 Connector Roadway, the engineering department recommends continuing the established relationship with EMC Engineering Services, Inc. to complete the design and engineering services for the proposed Earl Dabbs Drive, Highway 301 Connector Roadway, which will serve as access to the proposed Ogeechee Technical College ISIR Training Center. Per Bullock County Financial Policies dated July 2019, Section 8.16 Professional and Other Technical Services, negotiated contracts for professional services can be used when a formal bid or RFP was not completed, and this exception is typically utilized when an existing vendor and cost associated with changing vendors may be more than savings achieved through the purchasing process. Therefore, the engineering department recommends approval of the letter of agreement from EMC Engineering Services, Inc. to complete the remaining design and engineering services for the proposed Earl Dabbs Drive, Highway 301 Connector Roadway 6. Approve entering into negotiations with the most qualified responsive firm for professional design services for FY25 Roadway Design Batch 1. FY25 Roadway Design Batch 1 includes Floyd Clark Road, Deer Run Court, Deer Run Lane, Grimshaw Road, Grimshaw Lane, and Prather Road. These roads are county-maintained dirt roads that are included in the county's capital improvement program to be paved using TSPLOST funding. The design services scope includes topographical surveying, geotechnical surveying, environmental permitting, drainage design, right-of-way acquisition, and construction plan design. Bullock County advertised this solicitation on the Georgia Procurement Registry, Statesboro Herald, Bullock County Procurement website, and also sent the solicitation to 14 consultant firms as detailed in the attached memo from the purchasing manager. A total of 7 statements of qualifications, SOQs, were received on August 29, 2024. Staff scored the SOQs and then requested a technical approach submittal for the project from the 5 highest scoring firms. The county received the technical approaches on October 15, 2024, as detailed in the attached memo from the purchasing manager. The submissions have been scored according to scoring criteria in the solicitation, and staff is requesting approval to begin cost negotiations with the highest scoring firm. The county engineer recommends approval of this motion 7. Approve entering into negotiations with the most qualified responsive firm for professional design services for FY25 Roadway Design Batch 2. FY25 Roadway Design Batch 2 includes Bream Road, Pike Road, Bass Court, Lakeside Estates, Schumann Road, R.L. Lee Road, Club Road, and Junior Parker Road. These roads are county-maintained dirt roads that are included in the county's capital improvement program to be paved using TSPLOST funding. The design services scope includes topographical surveying, geotechnical surveying, environmental permitting, drainage design, right-of-way acquisition, and construction plan design. Bullock County advertised this solicitation on the Georgia Procurement Registry, Statesboro Herald, Bullock County Procurement website, and also sent the solicitation to 14 consultant firms as detailed in the attached memo from the purchasing manager. A total of 10 statements of qualifications, SOQs, were received on August 29, 2024. Staff scored the SOQs and then requested a technical approach submittal for the project from the 5 highest scoring firms. The county received the technical approaches on October 15, 2024, as detailed in the attached memo from the purchasing manager. The submissions have been scored according to scoring criteria in the solicitation, and staff is requesting approval to begin cost negotiations with the highest scoring firm. The county engineer recommends approval of this motion 8. Approve the renewal of AMOU with Ogeechee Technical College for the use of the Bullock County Correctional Institute for the purpose of providing adult education services. This is AMOU with Ogeechee Technical College for them to provide GED opportunities for the inmate population at Bullock County C. There is no cost for BCCI to provide this service. This provides the inmate population an opportunity to earn a GED while incarcerated, therefore better preparing them for re-entry into society. New business approved 1. Motorola Tower repair from Hurricane Helene. Request to approve and ratify the repair bill for climbing, repair and alignment of the 4 radio towers and antennas. Resource person, facilitator, E911 Director Kelly Barnard. During Hurricane Helene, high winds caused tower damage. The 4 communications towers needed to be climbed to realign the microwaves and repair or replace antennas on the towers. The climb was done immediately after the hurricane passed, to being us back to optimal operating of the radio system. Getting into new business, E911 Director Kelly Barnard addressed the board regarding the emergency repairs to the county's radio communication system following Hurricane Helene. She explained that the storm's high winds caused significant damage to 4 radio towers, including twisting antennas, bending or breaking brackets, and misaligning critical microwave signals. These issues led to degraded radio signal quality, which is vital for emergency services communication. Barnard detailed the swift response to the situation. By Friday morning, the damage had been physically assessed, and technicians were already on site by that afternoon to climb the towers and begin repairs. The work included realigning the microwave signals, repairing brackets, and addressing equipment issues at the landfill site in Effingham County, which supports the system. She emphasized the importance of a clear and reliable radio system, noting that communication issues caused by the damage could result in muffled or unclear transmissions, much like a poor phone signal. The repair work ensured the restoration of crisp and reliable radio communication across the system. The total cost of the repairs amounted to $60,459.64, which was not a budgeted expense. Barnard requested the board's approval to ratify the payment, highlighting the essential nature of the repairs to maintain public safety operations. The request was unanimously approved. Approved 2. Resolution authorizing participation in the ACCG, Interlocal Risk Management Agency Supplemental Medical, Accident, and Disability Fund, First Responder PTSD Program. During the 2024 session, the Georgia Legislature approved House Bill 451, known as the Ashley Wilson Act, requiring all public entities in Georgia to offer a supplemental benefit program for first responders who are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, as a result of line-of-duty exposure to traumatic events. The Ashley Wilson Act becomes effective on January 1, 2025. Employees eligible for coverage under the Act are defined in the statute, and include, but are not limited to, communications officers, emergency medical professionals, firefighters, both paid and volunteer, jail officers, peace officers, correctional officers, emergency medical technicians, probation officers. Benefits available under the Act include two types of coverage, each of which can be accessed once per lifetime. A $3,000 lump sum benefit paid following diagnosis of occupational PTSD, and a long-term disability benefit of 60% of monthly pay, maximum $5,000 per month, for up to 36 months, following a 90-day period of disability. The Association of County Commissioners of Georgia, ACCG, has partnered with MetLife Insurance Company to offer the required coverage to its members. The cost for participation is based on the number of eligible employees. Bullock County has received a price quotation, based on our current employee census data, of $53,370. This price includes both of the required benefits, lump sum and long-term disability, and complies with the requirements of the Ashley Wilson Act. Staff recommends that the county accept this proposal and apply for participation in the ACCG First Responder PTSD Program. Approval of the attached resolution and application will authorize participation and comply with the statutory obligations of the Ashley Wilson Act. Approved 3. Approve an extension for emergency purchasing provisions for the Public Works and Public Safety Rapid Response Plan. On December 10, 2024, the emergency purchasing, 120 days, approved by the Bullock County Board of Commissioners will expire. Over the last couple of months while recovering from Tropical Storm Debbie, Bullock County has seen Hurricane Helene and another major flooding event, 11/6 to 7/2024, causing additional damage to our road infrastructure. We are requesting approval for the Public Works and Public Safety Rapid Response Plan to be extended an additional 120 days to continue to restore roads damaged during all three of these weather events. We are still operating with the original appropriated funding up to $5 million, of which 75% is to be funded from TSPLOST to support the plan. This extension of an additional 120-day period of the emergency purchasing provisions of the county's financial policies will continue to help expedite the rapid response plan. Approved 4. Motion to approve a change order in the amount of $115,720 with McClendon Enterprises, Inc. for additional work to repair downstream scour of channel as part of the Brannan Pond Road Project, funded by TSPLOST, with partial reimbursement from FEMA and GEMA. During construction of the box culvert under Brannan Pond Road, additional underwater scour at the outlet end of the culvert that was not present during the initial design survey has been discovered. The additional scour is likely caused by flooding during Tropical Storm Debby. The scour hole, which is located just beyond the end of the concrete apron at the outlet end of the new box culvert, will need to be filled in with riprap to avoid stability problems for the concrete apron and wing walls. The hole is approximately 6 feet deep and covers an area of approximately 70 feet by 20 feet. The total estimated cost of this work is $93,170, however, actual payment will be based on actual quantities of riprap installed. Staff estimates that this cost estimate represents the maximum possible cost for this work. In addition to the underwater scour hole, Tropical Storm Debby and other storm events created some additional scour of the roadway as well. The additional roadway scour will result in an increase in quantities of graded aggregate base and asphalt. The total cost of this additional work is projected to be $27,850, however, actual payment will be based on actual quantities installed. Staff estimates that this cost estimate represents the maximum possible cost for this work. During the course of the project, there has also been an underrun of some line items in the contract. These underruns result in a deduction of $5,300 from the estimated cost of the work. The additional work minus the deduct items results in a net increase of $115,720 to the total contract amount. The original contract amount was $547,801. The new contract amount would be $663,521 with this change order. The approved engineering design cost with Kimley Horn for the project is $158,000. The estimated total of design and construction costs for the project is $821,521. The approved reimbursement from FEMA for the project is $469,264. 22, and the GEMA reimbursement is $62,568.56, for a total reimbursement of $531,832.78 from FEMA and GEMA. This leaves an estimated total of $289,688.22 to be funded using TSPLOST funds. The county engineer recommends approval of the change order. Approved 5. Approve a resolution authorizing the sale of an abandoned portion of Highway 46. On or about September 20, 1994, the Georgia Department of Transportation deeded to Bullock County the portion of Highway 46 from its intersection with Highway 67 to its intersection with Highway 119. On or about October 10, 2011, GDOT realigned the intersection of Highway 67 and Highway 46. Effectively resulting in the abandonment of a portion of the county-owned section of Highway 46. Raymond Waters owns the property on both sides of the abandoned roadway and has requested to purchase the abandoned roadway from the county. OCGA 4 July 32 authorizes the disposal of abandoned roadway property to the abutting landowner and authorizes a county to negotiate the sale of the property if the value is $75,000 or less. Based on the fair market value of the property, it has been determined that $8,160 is a reasonable sales price, and Mr. Waters has agreed to purchase the property for that amount. Approval of the presented resolution will authorize the sale of the abandoned roadway to Mr. Waters for $8,160. Approved 6. Approve a resolution approving and authorizing an intergovernmental agreement between Bullock County and municipalities concerning a county 1% special purpose local option sales tax. Approval of the attached resolution will approve and authorize execution of the intergovernmental agreement, IGA, that has been negotiated between the county and the municipalities of Statesboro, Brooklet, Portal, and Register concerning the 1% special purpose local option sales tax. SPLOST, referendum planned for March 18, 2025 which, if it passes, will be a continuation of the current 1% SPLOST that is set to expire on September 30, 2025. The IGA anticipates SPLOST collections of $138 million over the six-year term of the SPLOST and lists the county and municipal projects and their estimated costs. Two projects that are being allocated proceeds off the top are the addition to the jail in the amount of $51 million and purchase of space in a solid waste regional landfill in the amount of $9,600,000. Those two projects will receive monthly distributions over the six-year period to equal those amounts. The smaller municipalities will then receive their share of the remaining proceeds based on population, and then the county and Statesboro will receive their share of the remaining proceeds based on population. The IGA also acknowledges that the county intends to issue revenue bonds in the principal amount of $60 million through the Bullock County Public Facilities Authority in order to finance the addition to the jail, and that the $51 million allocated to the jail project will be used to pay these bonds, and that any proceeds collected in excess of the $138 million will be used exclusively to pay the debt until it is paid in full. The IGA further provides that if the SPLOST proceeds are insufficient to pay the debt in full, any remaining debt will be included as a priority project in the IGA for the next SPLOST. It is anticipated that all the municipalities will approve and execute the IGA before the end of November. The resolution of the Board of Commissioners requesting the call of the SPLOST referendum will be on the agenda for the December 3rd meeting, and the resolution of the Board of Elections and Registration issuing the call will be on the agenda for the December 9th meeting. The call will then be published in the Statesboro Herald on December 14th. Joint and Priority Projects. Project Category. Project Estimates. A capital outlay project consisting of an addition to the Bullock County Jail, $51 million. A capital outlay project are projects consisting of joint solid waste projects of the county and Statesboro, including, but not necessarily limited to, purchase of space in a regional landfill, $9,600,000. Total, $60,600,000. Bullock County Projects. Project Category. Project Estimates. Public Safety Facilities and or Equipment, $27,725,000. Recreational Facilities and or Equipment, $9 million. Solid Waste Facilities and or Equipment, $3,204,066. Capital Equipment for use in voting in official elections or referendums, $320,000. Capital Improvements to Administrative Buildings and or Capital Equipment for use in administrative buildings, $1,500,000. Capital Improvement to the Courthouse and Judicial Facilities and or Capital Equipment for use in the Courthouse and Judicial Facilities, $640,000. A capital outlay project are projects consisting of information technology, which may include but not be limited to servers, computers, and software, $715. Total, $43,104,060. Statesboro Projects. Project Category. Project Estimates. Public Safety Facilities and or Equipment, $12,792,000. Water and Sewer Capital Outlay Projects, $3,210,000. Natural Gas Capital Outlay Projects, $1,230,000. Administrative Facilities, $3,500,000. Cultural Facilities, $400,000. Parks, Trails, and Green Spaces, $3,300,000. Public Works and Cemetery, $1,250,000. Stormwater Capital Outlay Projects, $4,650,000. Public Parking Lots, $1 million. economic development projects. $1 million. Total. $31,912,020. Brooklet projects. Project category. Project estimates. Water and sewer capital outlay projects. $863,160. Public Works Capital Outlay Projects, $259,500. Vehicle and Equipment Purchases, $502,740. Total, $1,625,400. Portal Projects, Project Category, Project Estimates. Water and Sewer Capital Outlay Projects, $561,460. Public Safety Facilities and or Equipment, $50,000. Total, $611,460. Register Projects, Project Category, Project Estimates. Water Main Improvement, $100,000. Office Equipment Upgrades, $5,000. Capital Improvements to the Community Center and or Capital Equipment for Use in the Community Center, $30,000. New Roof on Primary Water Pump Building, $2,500. Capital Improvements to Town Hall and or Capital Equipment for Use in Town Hall, $9,560. Total, $147,060. Approved. 7. Authorize application for a drinking water permit. Bullock County needs to apply for a drinking water permit with the Georgia Environmental Protection Division in order to meet its contractual obligation to sell water to Bryan County. Move to future meeting 8. Review and discussion of well mitigation program. Designed by Dwayne Grice. Tony Rojas and Trent Thompson delivered a detailed presentation on the proposed well mitigation program, designed to ensure reliable access to water from the Floridan aquifer while addressing potential short- and long-term impacts of groundwater use. The program stems from permits issued by the Georgia Environmental Protection Division, EPD, allowing significant water withdrawal in the region. Bryan County's permit for 3.5 million gallons per day, MGD, and Bullock County's permit for 3.125 MGD. Bullock's permit includes a buffer to allow for future utility expansion in Southeast Bullock. Rojas emphasized the program's importance in safeguarding water resources while highlighting the potential revenue benefits for Bullock County from water sales to Bryan County. Rojas explained that the EPD permits include two key conditions. First, the short-term mitigation condition addresses immediate impacts, such as drops in the static water level that could affect well functionality. Second, the long-term condition requires the development of an alternate water source within 25 years, although efforts are underway to expedite this timeline. These conditions aim to ensure sustainable groundwater use while protecting the aquifer's integrity. Thompson provided a technical overview of the Floridan aquifer, emphasizing its vastness and the geological protections in coastal Georgia that make it a reliable water source. He explained that groundwater pumping could create localized pressure reductions, but EPD's modeling predicts minimal impacts to well functionality in Bullock County. Monitoring efforts will focus on agricultural, residential, and municipal wells within a 5-mile radius of pumping sites to identify and mitigate potential risks proactively. The well mitigation program includes several proactive measures and governance structures. Each county will appoint a mitigation manager responsible for overseeing claims and implementing solutions. An advisory committee comprising technical experts and community representatives will review the program and recommend improvements. The program also emphasizes public outreach, with a dedicated website, educational workshops, and voluntary well registration to collect essential data and address potential risks early. The program's funding starts with a $1 million commitment, equally shared by the Bullock and Bryan County Development Authorities, the Joint Development Authority, and Hyundai. Additional revenue will be generated from a 10-cent fee per 1,000 gallons of water sold to Bryan County. Mitigation strategies include lowering pumps, replacing or modifying equipment, deepening existing wells, or drilling new ones. In rare cases, affected residents may be connected to public water systems. Rojas and Thompson emphasized that the program is designed to evolve as new information becomes available, ensuring it remains effective in protecting water access and addressing community needs. They noted that proactive planning and a flexible approach would be critical in ensuring long-term groundwater sustainability while minimizing disruptions to well owners. During the discussion of the well mitigation program, commissioners and residents raised several concerns regarding its scope, implementation, and potential impacts on the community. A key issue was the 5-mile radius set for the mitigation area, with questions about whether this sufficiently covered all potentially affected wells. Tony Rojas explained that the Environmental Protection Division, EPD, established the radius based on conservative modeling and added that mitigation managers would have discretion to address impacts outside the boundary if necessary. Shallow wells were another point of concern, with residents citing anecdotal evidence of connections between shallow wells and groundwater pumping. Trent Thompson clarified that shallow wells, being in a separate aquifer, are not expected to be affected by the program's wells. The exclusion of community and municipal water systems from the program also sparked discussion. Thompson noted that these systems typically have their own resources to address issues such as lowering pumps. Residents expressed urgency about mitigation timelines, emphasizing that 24 hours without water could render homes uninhabitable. Rojas assured that the program aims to respond quickly, with well drillers on call to address issues within a day. Operational details, such as the appointment of an advisory committee and a well mitigation manager, were questioned, with calls for public transparency in these processes. Concerns were also raised about the program's operational costs potentially depleting the mitigation fund and whether Hyundai, as a major water user, would bear financial responsibility for any adverse effects on local wells. Proactive monitoring and data collection were highlighted as critical, with residents urging for better well registration efforts to identify at-risk wells before problems arise. Financial concerns included skepticism about the adequacy of the $1 million starting fund and the $120,000 annual contribution from water sales to Bryan County. Some questioned whether this funding would be sufficient to cover potential impacts. Additionally, attendees called for clear timelines for interim water supply solutions and raised concerns about the logistical challenges of providing alternative water sources. The Commission acknowledged these issues and agreed on the need for further public input and detailed responses in future meetings. Public comments. Robert Dierberg voiced concerns on behalf of his neighborhood regarding severe and worsening flooding issues caused by a creek running near their homes. He explained that Tropical Storm Debbie and the rainstorm on November 7 caused significant damage, with floodwaters entering homes and garages. Several residents, whose homes had been gutted and repaired after previous flooding, were hit again, leaving them devastated. Dierberg requested assistance from the board to investigate the issue, suggesting the possibility of engaging an engineering firm to evaluate the creek's flow and identify any blockages or debris from Hurricane Helene that might be exacerbating the flooding. County engineer Brad Deal responded, clarifying that the county had previously evaluated the area's drainage issues when considering taking over maintenance of Pulaski Point's roads. However, he noted that unresolved drainage concerns, primarily around the subdivision's pond, were on private property, making it difficult for the county to intervene. Additionally, Deal highlighted potential regulatory challenges involving the Corps of Engineers and the Environmental Protection Division, EPD, if work were to be conducted in the natural floodway. The board proposed setting up a separate meeting with Dierberg to discuss the situation in detail. Albert Toth addressed the board regarding flooding and drainage concerns affecting his neighborhood. He highlighted how heavy storms have caused water to overflow roads and flood properties, particularly at the low-lying entrance to Sand Creek. Over his 19 years in the subdivision, Toth has not seen any maintenance on the culverts or drainage ditches, which he believes are contributing to the problem. He suggested that natural debris and inadequate drainage capacity, including undersized pipes installed by private property owners, have created blockages, exacerbating the flooding. Toth noted that the lack of proper flow causes water to back up and overflow into yards and homes, creating safety hazards and threatening to wash out roads entirely. He shared his concern for the safety of drivers during sudden flooding events, emphasizing the urgency of addressing the issue. Toth has a meeting scheduled with Brad Deal to discuss potential solutions, including prioritizing maintenance and addressing problematic drainage infrastructure. He urged the board to elevate these flooding concerns on their priority list. Craig Sharp addressed the board about flooding issues affecting his property and others downstream. He expressed concerns about inadequate drainage, particularly after recent development near Highway 46, and questioned whether compliance with drainage requirements was enforced. Sharp highlighted the need for improved oversight of development, proactive solutions, and updates from the county's Outflow Commission. He shared that flooding had impacted his home and called for better planning to manage growth and extreme weather. Sharp is working with county engineer Brad Deal, who initiated a topographical map and hydrology study, but he urged the board to prioritize these issues. The board acknowledged the challenges and encouraged continued collaboration with Deal. Lenier Hardin spoke on behalf of the residents of Banks Creek Church Road, urging the board to address the road's impassability during heavy rains. She highlighted safety concerns, noting that school buses refuse to use the road, leaving parents to find alternative transportation for children. Emergency services face similar challenges due to deep holes and ridges that can damage vehicles. Hardin requested immediate attention, such as compacting gravel along the road's full length, and emphasized the need for a long-term solution, ideally full paving. She also suggested a community meeting with the district commissioner to explore options and timelines. The board acknowledged the concerns and assured they would consider potential measures. Lawton Sack addressed the board regarding the SPLOST, Special Purpose Local Option Sales Tax, proposal, expressing concerns about the lack of public input prior to the vote on its items. Sack mentioned receiving feedback from citizens questioning the prioritization of the jail over other items discussed in prior meetings. He sought clarification on the jail's current capacity, inmate numbers, and staffing levels. The sheriff offered a personal invitation to discuss these concerns at his office. Sack emphasized his support for using sales tax rather than property taxes to fund projects but voiced concern about the potential for the SPLOST referendum to fail due to low voter turnout in a standalone March election. Sheriff Noel Brown addressed the commissioners and community members with gratitude and a strong call for attention to the county's ongoing challenges. He began by thanking the board for their support over the past 8 years, acknowledging the collaborative work that has been accomplished, including improvements to employee pay scales, health benefits, and the defined benefit plan aimed at retaining county employees. Sheriff Brown highlighted how these advancements have made Bullock County a standout community in Georgia. He emphasized the persistent infrastructure issues, particularly flooding and road damage, caused by deteriorated dams across the county. Sheriff Brown noted that without addressing these dams, some on private property and others with potential federal or state involvement, the county would continue to face flooding, washed-out roads, and related problems. He called for a long-term plan to replace these dams to alleviate the damage and improve overall infrastructure. Reflecting on the resilience of Bullock County citizens during Hurricane Helene, Sheriff Brown expressed pride in the community's quick recovery efforts, which served as an example for neighboring counties. He concluded with heartfelt remarks to the outgoing and incoming commissioners, urging them to carry forward the commitment to progress and service for Bullock County. Sheriff Brown ended with words of gratitude, emphasizing his appreciation for the commissioners, employees, and residents of the county. Commission and staff comments. None. Agenda and supporting documents. Live stream of the meeting.